with me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to speak for a while this afternoon on the secret of contentment. And it's not going to be a secret long, because I'm going to tell you. The little girl was drawing a picture. And her mother asked her, she says, "Dear, what are you drawing?" She says, "Mama, I'm drawing a picture of God." And her mother says, "Dear, nobody knows what God looks like." She looked up and said, "Mama, they will in a minute." So if you don't know what the secret of contentment is, you will in a minute. Philippians chapter 4. I want to encourage you to take notes. If you don't want to write in your Bible, then you're going to want to jot some of this down. The secret of contentment. I'm going to read here the first 13 verses, Philippians 4. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, I implore Eutychus, I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help those women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at your last care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Verse 11. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Contentment. Contentment means to be sufficient within oneself. I'll explain that before this sermon ends. Contentment means to be independent of external circumstances. That regardless of what is raging around me, I am sufficient within myself because I have contentment. I will explain that before this ends. Let me begin with this. You and I as Christians need to understand that God intends that we be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, Paul says, having food and clothing, be content. God, what do you want? I want you to be content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the writer says, be content with such as you have. God, what do you want? I want you to be you. I want you, whatever you have is what you have, and I want you to be content. God intends that we be content. But contentment is not something that comes naturally. Now, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Contentment is not something that any of us are born with. Take a look at verse 11. Paul says that the way we gain contentment in our lives is that we learn it. I have learned to be content. So, in order to get it, you have to learn it. Now, let me tell you why that's great. What that means is that contentment is available to everybody who is willing to learn it. That's great. What if contentment was only for those who had $1 million? That'd leave a bunch of us out, wouldn't it? Cliff Russell would be the only one who could have it. What if contentment was just for females? Well, that'd leave a lot of us out of it. But because contentment is something that you can learn, that means it's available for all of us if we will prepare ourselves and ready ourselves to learn it. I can have this sufficiency. I can be independent of the storms that are around me with contentment, and I can have contentment if I'm willing to learn it. Now let's be honest. Be honest. Wouldn't you love to know and to have the secret of contentment? Wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you love it if the Apostle Paul came right through that door, stood right behind this pulpit, and said, here it is. Here is how to be content. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul isn't going to come through that door, and he isn't going to stand here, and he isn't going to say to us, here's how you can learn it. But even though he isn't going to say it, he wrote it down. He wrote it down. And to ensure what he wrote, it is no less than the Spirit of God who moved him, who carried him, who brought him along, so that what he told us about contentment is exactly right. So here's a guy who writes a letter from prison and talks about how to be content. What is the secret of contentment? How can we learn to be content? How can we learn to have this sufficiency within ourselves? That I'm good in my own skin. And when all of it around me isn't right, I'm still good because I have this contentment. How can we have this sufficiency in our lives no matter what? In these 13 verses, the Apostle Paul gives us five keys. And then after giving us five keys to contentment, he then pulls and gives us the master key. Because without the master key, the other five of themselves aren't going to work. But he says, here are five keys. This is the way. This is the secret. You can have contentment. But now you don't forget this master key, because it'll work the rest of them. So how do we get it? Number one is in verse one. The secret to contentment, number one, verse one, is to stand fast in the Lord. Look what he says right at the end of verse one. He says, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Well, what that is, persevere in the Lord. Preacher, explain it. All right, here it is explained. You, as an individual, you plant yourself in Christ and stay there. Only in Jesus can we resist everything the world's going to put on us. Only in Jesus can we resist the temptation that the devil is going to put on us. The only way we can persevere in this world, the only way we can do that is to stand fast, is to persevere in the Lord. Listen, plant yourself in Jesus and just stay there. Plant yourself in the truth and stay there. Plant yourself in the church and stay there. You are not going to be content without this steadfastness in your life. And this steadfastness only comes if you're in the Lord. Now watch this. Because everybody in Philippi wasn't doing this. In verse 2, he mentions two sisters in Christ, co-workers, fellow workers of his, who are at odds with each other. Now, what we know is that between these two sisters in Christ, there was a problem, but he doesn't tell us what the problem was. Maybe they were arguing about whether to paint the nursery pink or to paint it blue. Now, I say that and you chuckle, and here's what's wrong with that. I have known brethren to get sideways with each other over things that are a lot sillier than what color are we going to paint the nursery. Isn't that sad? But whatever their problem was, their problem became public in the church. Everybody knew about it. You say, now how do you know that? I know because Paul rallies the whole church to get involved in this. And if it was a private matter, he wouldn't have done that. But so this became public. Whatever it was became public. And so Paul tells the whole church, look, I want these fences between them mended. I want this put to rest. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:10? No division among you. Same mind. Same judgment. Now listen to me. Listen to me. What we need as Christians is to stand fast in the Lord. You're not going to, you cannot be content without that. You can't. You need, every member here, listen carefully. You need to find yourself a ministry somewhere in this congregation, and you need to plant yourself in it and be steadfast in it. It'll help you be content. It'll help you be content. There is enough going on for everybody to find something to do. You plant yourself in it and be steadfast. How do we get, what is the secret to contentment? The first step is to persevere in the Lord. You stand fast in the Lord. Without that, you can't, how are you going to be sufficient without God? Number two, the second secret here is in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, rejoice in the Lord. Now, let me explain this. In verse 4, he says, rejoice. Watch the wording. In the Lord always, again I will say, rejoice. Now watch me. There is a big difference in what the world calls happiness and having joy in the Lord. Happiness in the world always involves things. Stuff. When the world talks about I'm happy, it's about things or it's about circumstances that are around them. The world says, as long as my external circumstances around me, as long as everything around me is good, I can be happy. Now, let me tell you about Fox's life. In order for Fox to be happy, everything around him has to be good. Fox ain't going to be happy many days. How about your life? How about yours? Happiness in the world is about things. Happiness in the world is about external circumstances. But joy in the Lord is about our relationship with Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means even if I lose things, I can still have my joy because my joy isn't dependent on my things. My joy is dependent upon my relationship with Jesus. Do you understand what I just said? Even if I suffer loss, I can still have joy because my joy isn't dependent upon the people around me, even though those I love, it's dependent upon my relationship with Jesus. That's why I can lose my health and I can still keep my joy because my joy isn't based on my health. My joy is based on my relationship with Jesus, and as long as I keep my relationship with Jesus, I can have joy in the Lord regardless of everything else that falls around me. Listen, if I base my joy on my house, what am I going to do tonight if I drive home and the dog has burnt the house down? My joy's gone, right? I can't be happy no more. Listen, in that sense, now I want you to hear this sentence. In that sense, there is an indestructibility about Christian joy. An indestructibility about it. Because I can lose everything, I can lose all people, I can lose all health, and I can still have my joy because it's in the Lord. In that sense, there is an indestructibility about this. Listen, how are you going to be content? How are you going to be sufficient within yourself if every time something around you goes wrong, it makes you unhappy? So in Romans 8:35, Paul says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And he starts ripping off stuff. Persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. He says any one of these things and all of these things combined, he says, cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And if you go up earlier in the chapter, that's where he says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, the secret to contentment, number one, is you stand fast in the Lord. You put yourself in Jesus and don't move from there. You stay there. The secret of contentment is to rejoice in the Lord. What the world calls happiness isn't happy. And as soon as they lose what they had to get a hold of to make them happy, they're going to be unhappy again. Number three. Verse 5. Practice the presence of the Lord. Now I'm going to say something in a minute, and I don't want you to get mad at me. Because if it isn't you, then you shouldn't worry about it. And if this is you, you shouldn't get mad at me. You should repent. Look at verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Some translations, it says, let your moderation. New King James here says, let your gentleness. Listen. Christian people, brethren, listen to me. We should be the most gentle people on earth. We should be the most gentle people on earth. Listen. There are too many hateful Christians. I mean, just mean. Just mean. And they just mean as a snake. And then when they get through, well, I tell y'all, listen, Christian love. Christian love ain't got nothing to do. Don't bring God into this mess you just said to me. God ain't got nothing to do with this. You are not head. And are mean-spirited. That's not us. That's not us. Now here's the contentment part. He says the Lord is at hand. You want to be content? Practice the presence of the Lord in your life. The Lord is at hand. That could mean one of two things and may mean both of them. First, you need to live your life every day with an awareness Jesus could come back today. Jesus come back today. If nothing else, that ought to make you behave. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord, we need to live every day with this awareness. Jesus, the one to whom my joy is in, he come back any day. And the second thing it could mean, it probably again means both, is that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is always with you. Listen, anywhere you go, the Lord is with you. You are never alone. You talk about being content. You talk about being content. You're never alone. Practice the presence of the Lord in your life. Well, I'm lonely. Why are you lonely? Jesus is with you. You must be squeezing him out if you're lonely. Amen. practice the presence of the Lord. How can I want to be content. I want this sufficiency within myself. Then stand fast in the Lord. Get in the Lord and stay there. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your joy be based on your relationship with Jesus, and you will never lose that joy. I don't care what anybody does to you. And practice the presence of the Lord. I'm never alone. Listen, in the worst day of my life, the Lord is with me. When I'm crying, the Lord is with me. When my heart breaks, the Lord is with me. I'm going to practice the presence of the Lord. I have this sufficiency because I have this faith and confidence in my relationship with the Lord. Number four. Verse 7 and 8. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Now look at verse 7 and 8. Verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Well, I wonder what that means. Well, if it means what it says, it means you shouldn't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Okay, so if I don't worry about it, and if I pray about it, what will happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, cast your cares on the Lord. Do you want to be content? Then give God your burden. Now, this is going to sound strange, but there are some Christians who evidently like to worry. They must, because they do it all the time. I mean, why would you do something every day if you didn't like it? And they worry about everything. They worry about the past. They worry about the present, and they worry about the future. I mean, they just worry. In fact, they wake up and they worry if there ain't nothing to worry about. Now, if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the past. Because your past is under the blood of Jesus. Gone forever. Why are you worried about that? In the mind of God, it never happened. Don't worry about the past. It's on the blood of Jesus. You don't have to worry about the present. You know why? Because we're practicing the presence of the Lord. That was the last thing we just talked about. I'm not alone. The Lord is with. For me to live is Christ. The Lord is with me. Why am I going to worry about here and now when Jesus is with me here and now? And I don't have to worry about the future. And the reason that I don't have to worry about the future is because I have faith that the God who has brought me all this way can carry me the rest of the way. My past tells me that my future is okay because the God who's brought me through all these messes before will carry me on the rest of the way. So why are you worried? Why are you worried? No wonder you're not content. You worry death about everything and everybody. Now look at the word that he uses. Verse 6. He says, but in everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. There is nothing too great that the power of God can't handle. And there's nothing too small that his fatherly care can't take care of. What is the secret of contentment? Standing fast in the Lord. I'm in Jesus and I'm not moving. Rejoicing in the Lord. practicing the presence of the Lord. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is with me. How are you not going to be content with that? Casting your cares upon Him. Number 5, verse 8, the fifth key in the secret of contentment is you have to have right thinking. You got to think right. Look at verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, those are the things you need to be thinking about. Look at the first thing on the list, whatever is true. We worry ourselves to death about things that aren't true because we make them up. We make them up. It ain't never happened. Why do you think this is going to happen? How many times has this ever happened to you? Well, it ain't never happened to me. Well, then by all means, just worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever is true. What are you worried about? Well, I'm worried that, well, is that true? Well, I don't know. Then why are you thinking about it? Brother Mid McKnight used to say the biggest problem we had as Christians, we got stinking thinking. We had stinking thinking. And with some, even us, now I'm talking about us, Christians, the world's always fallen. It's always fallen. Let me illustrate, because she died a long time ago. So when you die, I'm going to talk about you too. When I went to Vinewood, I was there 3 years to the month, exactly 3 years. The first or second Sunday I was there, this is in the 70s, first or second Sunday I was there, this old sister goes out, shakes hands with me, and I ask her, I said, how are you doing? 3 years later, when I left, she had not gotten through telling me everything that was wrong with her. I mean, everything from cancer to club foot. I mean, she had everything. She had everything. So I went to visit her one night, her and her husband. And because when you're married, the two become one, I thought I should share in this misery with my wife. Because I thought, I'm not going through this alone. So Deborah and I, she knows exactly where this is going right now, because she knows exactly who this is. We went over to her house. Now, she was old, but her husband was an ark. I mean, is old, and he couldn't hear, and so he had hearing aids. Now, hearing aids in the 70s aren't like hearing aids now. People wear a hearing aid now, you can't see it. This was like horn. And he was real, real old. So help me, she had him on the couch. There was two couches. She had him on the couch, and she literally had him propped up, and this big hearing aid, this horn, was sticking up out of his ear. And so she was seated in a chair, and so Deborah and I were on the other side of the room from him, and she is talking to us. Everything in the world is wrong. And then every once in a while, she'd look over there and holler at him. Now, ain't everybody there? And he'd say, huh? And then she'd talk to us some more, tell just about how bad it is. It made no difference what it was, but it was bad. Nothing was ever good with her. And she'd talk a little longer, and then she'd, now I'm telling them about. And he'd go, huh? So help me. So help me. She's right there. She gets, the sister gets up on the corner of her seat, Because now she's going to talk to me and Deborah about him. So she raises up on the seat and she's like, well, now he... And from over there, that's not so! I understood that. You don't think I didn't understand that? I understood that. That old guy could hear better than us. He didn't need that horn. He could hear better than us. Listen, that soul had been married to her for so long and had listened to all that foolishness and negativism, and the whole world is falling every day of his life. He has turned her off. He did. He has turned her off. And if he hadn't, he'd have been dead 40 years before I ever saw him. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, no. You got to get your thinking right. You got to get your thinking right. You need to go to Philippians 4, verse 8, and you need, I don't know why I'm carrying the songbook around. You need to go, I thought it was my Bible. You need to go to Philippians 4, and I'm getting old myself. Philippians 4 and verse 8, and you need to go through every one of those traits and say, now, is this what I got my mind on? And if it won't run through that filter clean, you need to get your mind off of it. Amen? Now, let's close, but I got to give you the master key. Here is the secret to contentment. This sufficiency within myself, that I'm okay within myself, even if everything around me isn't going well. And there's always something around, there's always something or somebody around us that's making a mess that's rubbing off on us. Amen. All right. Stand fast in the Lord. Get in the Lord and just stay there. Just stay there. Rejoice in the Lord. My joy is not based on what goofy people out there in the world do. And the world is filled with goofy people. You watch the news, they've been all over the news. World is filled with goofy people. Listen, my joy ain't based on them. I don't even know who they are. Why would I let them make me unhappy? Don't give people that power over you. Don't do that. Practice the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Cast your cares upon the Lord. In everything, I'm going to pray about this. And then get your thinking right. Now, here is the master key, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, the power source for all of this is Jesus. It's Jesus. Look, I don't care what kind of car you got. I don't care how nice a radio is. I don't care how nice the air conditioner is. You know, you have a washer and dryer in it and a jacuzzi in it. I don't care what's in it. If there's not a battery in it, if there's not a power source in it, it won't run. It won't run. So here it is. You know what that makes this? Contentment, listen to me, contentment is not a human achievement. It's a divine gift because the strength of it comes through Christ. And that's why people say, I'm a Christian and I have a relationship with Jesus and I believe that the Lord is with me and I pray, but I'm still a mess. I don't have this contentment. It's because you're doing all this and you're trying to make yourself the power source of it. And it's not. Christ is.
Real contentment is not a human achievement. It's a divine gift. It comes through doing these things, but doing them through the strength of Jesus Christ, who is our power source. Now, if you got the last 45 seconds of the sermon, you got a sermon. So contentment can be yours. It's okay to be a Christian and smile. Enjoy life. You can go to heaven and enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Well, the world's messing me up. Hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. Well, they're hallelujah anyway. Well, they messing with you. They're going to keep messing with you. As long as you're walking the way God wants you to walk, the world's going to mess with you. Hallelujah anyway. Amen? All right. Okay. Y'all going to invite me back? Okay. If you're here in this assembly and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. If you're here and away from God, you need to come back. Listen, if you're struggling with this deal of contentment, this is it. This is it. You say, but I've been trying. That's what your problem is. You need to let Jesus do this.
Yes, sir.
You need to get in his strength with this. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. That's where the strength comes from. If you need to respond, come right now.